not try and bend the spoon. Only try to realize the truth. There is no spoon.
Cool J is hard as battle anybody. I don't care who you. I expect they all.
Pumping that podcast, wattage in your cottage. Build your business and free your mind. I know, coming to you live and direct from Des Moines, Iowa, the greatest city in the universe. See your host, yeah, Justin Wise. Blood clot. No spoon to the flipping world. Justin, running.
You're a cougar scene now.
Pumping that podcast wattage into your cottage. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Think Digital, the only show dedicated to making your digital business way more profitable, way more enjoyable, in way less time. Justin Wise here with you. I am the captain on this good ship. Welcome aboard. Today's topic is stop listening to the hustle worshipers. Stop listening to the hustle worshipers. I had this topic planned months and months ago, but an article has come out recently that made this even more applicable. Yeah, it's something that I've been talking about for months and months, and it's becoming a real problem, which is burnout. And burnout is directly related to the hustle, the grind, man. Gotta grind. Gotta get your hustle on, man. And unfortunately, we have all been sold a bill of goods. Because grinding, hustling, all this other BS startup nonsense of work, 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 it doesn't work. People who are smart and study this stuff, and there's infinite amount of studies out there. I prefer to reference the articles that reference the studies, but if you really wanted to, you could go and find these studies out there that basically we hit a limit. And for different people, the limit, you know, it bounces between 6, 8, sometimes even up to 10 hours a day. But the point is, it all depends on your type of personality and what type of work you do. Somewhere in that range, in that pocket, it becomes counterproductive to work more. You make worse decisions. You increase mental and physical fatigue once you work past a certain point. And this is never more true than those of us who work online, those of us who have digital businesses, where we're not necessarily producing a product, where we can say to ourselves, like, when you work out, you know, hey, if I run on the treadmill for an hour, or if I lift weights, or if I do CrossFit, or if I do yoga, and I do that for, you know, half hour, an hour, I will feel tired. My muscles will feel fatigued. And it's something that you can point to directly to say, I did this activity, and now I feel this. I did this activity and now I feel tired. Where digital businesses, people again who make their living online, the challenge for us is that we can't always point to it and make a direct correlation. Where we'll spend hours and hours and hours looking at our computer. And what we don't realize is, yeah, our eyes might feel tired, but there's so much going on beneath the surface in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, that we can't tangibly measure. And basically all these factors contribute to this sense of pervasive melancholy, as I heard one researcher put it. And this is particularly sharp in knowledge workers, and it's particularly sharp in millennial knowledge workers. We're in the knowledge economy. Most of us now, and those of you especially listening to this podcast, we create, distribute, categorize, or make meaning of information. That's what most of us do now. Most of us aren't pushing buttons and pulling levers in a factory somewhere. most of us are making sense of, creating, distributing, or deciphering, defining information. So there's an article that had come out early in 2019. I'm not going to talk much about this article, but this article, along with the notes I already had for this show, just lent me to believe that, hey, this is a really important topic. And the article I'm referencing is by a really sharp gal, Ann Helen Peterson, wrote this early part of 2019. It's called How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. The article is How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation, and I encourage you to Google that and read it. But it explains more fully in greater detail than what we'll go into today, how those of us in the millennials, and I'm 38 as of this recording, and so I was born in 1980, the latter part of 1980, so I am like the grandpa of the millennial generation. And Anne, who writes this article, is also in that same pocket. And she goes through a lot of interesting points in this article, but it all relates to the hustle, the grind, and the big picture of the article. If you don't want to read it, let me just break it down for you. In a nutshell, is basically as millennials, and this can stretch a couple years. You know, this doesn't have to be just for millennials, right? This can stretch a couple years, 5-10 years up. So those of us who are, you know, in our 30s and early 40s, this could apply to. The gist of the article is basically, hey, we've been conditioned from the very beginning to work all the time. We've been conditioned to be on all the time. We've been conditioned to respond all the time, to be optimized, to be productive, to feed the machine. And while that worked for a season, what we're starting to see now is that burnout levels in millennials and burnout levels in Gen X, for that matter, they're becoming progressively worse. And again, burnout isn't necessarily defined as something, you know, it's not necessarily something that you can point to and say, oh, hey, I have a broken leg. But it's this sense of just anxiety, low-grade anxiety. And Anne in this article writes, the quintessential millennial child, which is optimized for perfect performance, right? And this plays a lot into what most of us do for a living. And just to be candid with you, I started noticing signs of burnout in myself probably 2 to 3 years ago. And this was back when, you know, we were in growth mode and I was a full-on subscriber of, you know, the hustle worship. You got to grind, you got to work, you got to put in the hours, which now I think is just so stupid. It's not just stupid, it's actually dangerous. And, you know, you can point to various thought leaders, I suppose, if you can even call them that, who kind of champion this way of living. But what all research is pointing to, and what I think all of us can really point to in our own beings, is that the hustle, the grind doesn't work. It's bullshit. It does not work. It is not sustainable. Yes, there are seasons in your business where you will push. There are seasons in your business where you need to burn the midnight oil and push a little bit harder than normal. But by all intents and purposes, anecdotally and now statistically and research-backed, research is telling us it doesn't work. It's counterproductive. Working 50, 60, 70, 80-hour weeks is not sustainable. It is not good for your well-being as a human being, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. And so I started noticing signs of burnout in myself, like I said, probably 2 to 3 years ago. And these weren't major signs. It just was, and by the way, this again, I'll point you back to the article because the article goes much more in depth than I'm about to go into. This article is such a gift. Again, the article is called How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. And I think you should read it even if you're not a millennial, because it does make a really good case for, hey, this is what to look out for when it comes to burnout. And those of us who have our own businesses were highly susceptible to burnout. But in my own case, I noticed that things were just kind of flat. And this is different than depression. It's not depression. It's not anxiety. Those are separate conditions altogether. That's not what we're talking about here. But things just kind of fell flat. It just felt like everything was a to-do list to get through, and I didn't have the energy to get through it. Small, mundane tasks just took tremendous amounts of mental energy to accomplish. Simple things like, hey, go to the P.O. box and check the mail. Simple things like, you know, call and change the billing address on file. You know, go get the laundry. These very simple tasks became monumental because the mental energy needed to accomplish those tasks was completely gone. So I'd encourage you, if you're feeling that burnout, if you're feeling that sense of, man, things just seem harder than normal. And I'm not talking about depression. I'm not talking about anxiety. Okay. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about specific as it comes to work. And so I started to have to make changes. I had been a full-on subscriber of the hustle worship, right? Where if things were going to get done, you had to push. If things were going to get done, you had to grind, and you had to be on your computer, and you had to be on your phone, and you had to be texting people constantly and responding to tweets on Facebook and responding to messages in your inbox. And you had to have inbox zero. And the more and more I pushed this area of my life, you know, the worse the underlying burnout became. And I remember there were times where I would come home from work and I would just fall asleep on the couch at 6:30, 7 o'clock. Or we'd be saying prayers for the kids at, let's say, they go to bed around 7:30, and I'd fall asleep during prayers. And when this started once, okay, twice, that's kind of weird. But when this started happening consistently, I started to think, man, something isn't right here. And this was a stage in our business where we had moved from, you know, a nice multi six-figure business to starting to grow and wanting to grow aggressively. And that, for a time, put me into the hustle worship camp. And, you know, this looks like, hey, working 60-hour weeks, taking your laptop on vacation, right? Answering emails when your wife is in the restroom on date night. She steps away and you're on your phone. Staying up late to finish client work, you know, spending every spare minute chasing new clients. Worshiping these gurus who talk about hustle and grind. And it's just total nonsense. And so making course corrections, and that's what I want to spend the latter part of this podcast talking about. So we've talked about the symptoms, okay? The article I reference is going to go much more in depth into the symptoms. So you can see, hey, am I in danger of burning out? And burnout, by the way, is a direct result to being on all the time. And being on all the time is a direct result of the hustle worship culture. Okay, so we've talked about the symptoms, and I encourage you to really do an analysis in your own life to see, like, hey, am I refreshed? Like, this is the biggest thing for me was when I take a break, okay, do I come back refreshed? Let's say it's a weekend, right? So I take a weekend and I don't work, or I take a day off and I don't work, or I go on vacation and I don't work. Do I come back refreshed and renewed? And when you're burned out, going away, whether it's for a day or a week or even a month, it actually doesn't fix the problem because you haven't fixed the underlying problem of being always on. And so sometimes just taking a break won't lead you to that place of refreshment and renewal. Think of this like working out. You know, if you have an injury and you go to work out, you know, that's not going to help things, right? If you have an injury or an underlying sickness, you need to take time away. And most likely, especially if you're, let's say, lifting weights or like CrossFit, for instance, if you keep getting the injury, then you have to look at, okay, something is off here because I keep getting this injury. So let's take a look at actually the way that I'm working, the way that I'm working out, because this injury keeps coming up. It keeps popping up. Why is that happening? Well, it's probably because of the way I'm doing things. And with burnout, you know, it's basically putting a middle finger right in the face of the hustle worship culture. And so for me, that meant putting significant changes into my schedule. And I'll tell you what the results are now, because the result is actually kind of weird. And my schedule looks weird compared to what it used to be. You know, most days I wake up, I don't set an alarm. I wake up whenever I wake up. I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. I go downtown, right? But you know, what is kind of strange and what's different than where I used to be is the following list. Like, I work 4 days a week. I pick my kids up from school or take them just about every day. I don't do any of client fulfillment in our business. I don't handle project management. When I do dive into client work, it's for high-level strategy, hands-on problem solving. I spend most of my time doing this kind of stuff, creating content, strategizing, hopping on the phone with people who are ready to jump into one of our coaching programs. And a couple times a year, I block off a handful of days on my calendar for in-person agency consulting. Inside of the hustle worship culture, my schedule is downright bizarre because of what we've been talking about. The hustle worship culture says you have to work 60-hour weeks. The hustle worship culture says you have to take your laptop on vacation. The hustle worship culture says inbox zero. The hustle worship culture says stay up late, do whatever it takes, sleep in your office, grind, grind, grind. If it's going to be, it's up to me. But that comes at a cost. And I didn't want to buy my business with years of my life. And for that matter, years of my wife's and kids' lives. It's just not worth it to me. So I found a different way. And it's actually not that hard when you clear out the clutter and stop listening to the BS hustle worshipers. And it's amazing. And so what I've been able to do is say, okay, what is essential? What is necessary? What are the absolutes here that need to happen? And this has taken a lot of effort. It's taken a lot of time. It's taken a lot of pain. It's taken a lot of trust in other people in asking them, hey, do you see these signs of burnout in my life? Do you see these impacts? Asking my wife, hey, am I present? Do you notice me zoning out? And not too long ago, if you were to ask her that question, she would say, yeah, you're distracted. You're not here. You're elsewhere. Now, some of that is just part of business, right? But when you are checking your phone, I remember this very distinctly. My daughter had, and I really do not want to get emotional right now. My daughter had a school event. And I remember peeking at my phone as she's on stage. And my wife, I caught her out of the corner of my eye, and it was one of those looks where she didn't say anything, but you knew, like, oh, this is not good. This is not good. It's those types of moments, right? Where you realize, like, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I don't want to be doing this, but I'm compelled to do this. And it took drastic action. And that drastic action started with saying, okay, what are the essentials? What can I do that nobody else can do? What do I need to build my business around that is specific to me, that I enjoy fulfilling, that I enjoy doing? And for me, you know, what that basically boiled down to was coaching and consulting, training people, educating people, doing that and only that, at least for me. And then fulfilling that in a way that people wanted it, right? So it was appealing to others, but it was also appealing to me. And that's a part I think a lot of entrepreneurs miss, is they don't take the time. Listen, hustle worshiping is easy because it's complex. It's and complexity is easy. What's not easy is simplicity. Simplicity takes discipline. It takes focus. And most of us entrepreneurs naturally gravitate towards complexity because we can handle a lot of different things at once. That leads you to the road of burnout because your mind is always going. You always have plates spinning. There's always something to do, to accomplish, to take care of. My buddy Greg Hickman says it this way: the simple way to have less to do is by doing less. The simple way to have less to do is by doing less. And that's what this whole process over the last couple of years has been, is to say, what can I do and what can only I do? What do I enjoy doing? What will others pay me for that I enjoy fulfilling on? And that process has led us to a point where now we're focused on helping others through that journey, helping others build digital agencies, helping others build digital businesses in a way that's not going to kill them. And so now it looks like, hey, I'm pretty stingy with my time. Whereas before, like the hustle worship culture would say, you meet with anyone and everyone as soon as an opportunity comes up. Well, I don't do that very much anymore. My time comes at a premium. And what that basically looks like is saying, okay, what are the fulfillment systems we need to put into place so once I touch this, I never have to touch it again? It can easily be handed off to a team member, it can be handed off to a virtual assistant. So I can stay in my friend Julie calls it the zone of genius. Dan Sullivan puts it this way: it's your unique ability. Call it what you want. It's the same thing over and over. What have you been uniquely and profoundly gifted to do? What have you uniquely and profoundly been gifted to do? Focusing in on that and only that. And there's a lot of other things that go into shucking and shunning the hustle culture. You know, off the top of my head, things that I can think about are being okay with FOMO, fear of missing out. There's a great book by Jason Fried and David Hanemeyer Hansen called It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work. And in it, they talk about not FOMO, but JOMO, joy of missing out, being okay with missing out on things. Being okay with missing out on opportunities because you know what you and only you can do. And when an opportunity comes up that falls outside of that category, you're okay missing out on that opportunity. Being okay with letting those opportunities go. Being okay with saying, hey, I may not be the biggest business. This was a huge factor. This was a huge key. This took a lot of unlearning. After listening to some well-meaning people, well-intentioned people who just were flat out wrong, who said basically to me in one way, shape, or form, and they're not just saying this to me, they're saying it to the marketplace, hey, because we have a $10 million business, you should have a $10 million business. Because we have a $5 million business, you should have a $5 million business. And the reality is there's a cost to building a $10 million business. There's a cost to being Elon Musk and building Tesla and all the other companies he's building. There's a cost. There's a cost to building a $1 million business. And they all have different costs. And what I realized was I was certainly not prepared to pay the cost to get to a Elon Musk type level. I was not prepared and never will be prepared and never willingly will pay those costs. Costs like not spending time with my family, not taking my kids to school, not being available for their events, not having the mental freaking bandwidth to sit with my own thoughts and not have low-level anxiety permeating just below the surface. I wasn't prepared to pay those costs. I'm not prepared to pay the costs of having a $10 million business. And I thought that I was, and I'm not. And I'm okay with that. And what I would encourage you is to find that number, find people who are at that number, and ask them what the costs were to get to that point. And if you're prepared to pay those costs, then you should go about building that type of business. If you're not prepared to pay those costs, then don't build that business. It is a fool's errand. Because I am convinced that there is a way to build a business to the size that I want with no sorrow accompanying it. And when you're stuck in hustle worship, there is mounds of sorrow that accompany it. There's mental energy that's exerted, mental effort. You can never shut your brain off. So if you're a burnt out service provider, let me just break this down real clear, okay? If you're a burnt out service provider, if you can't go 12 hours without opening your computer, if you feel like taking a break, even for a weekend, will result in a revenue plummet, if you fantasize about burning your business to the ground, if you don't know how to get or serve clients without active work on your end, you are in danger of burning out. And here's why burnout is such a big deal. Burnout is a big deal, and I'll wind up with this. Burnout is a big deal because it's sneaky, it's pervasive, and you think that you can push through it. But actually, pushing through burnout makes it worse. You have to get to a point in burnout, just like if you drive a car with no oil in the engine. You can drive it for a few miles, let's say maybe even 10 miles, but eventually that engine's going to seize up. And in our entrepreneurial lives, it's the same thing. If you push and push and push, and you push past burnout, so you don't have any oil in the tank, any oil in your engine, sooner or later, your engine will seize up, and then you are done. There is no coming back from that. And then we miss out on what you and you alone can bring to this world. That's a big deal. That's what I want you to remember. Burnout takes you out of the game, and it robs the world of what you and you alone are profoundly and uniquely gifted to do. So I'm going to wrap it up there. New day. It's a new day. Good news is, if you're feeling burnt out, all it takes is one choice to say, man, I'm not going to do it. I'm not playing that game anymore. I'm not dancing to that fiddle. I'm out. Justin Wise here with you. So good to be with you. Hey, if you're enjoying this podcast, please, 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 go to thinkdigital.co/podcast and make sure to leave a review, a rating. Anything helps get this in the ears and minds of other digital online business owners who need it. So you're doing everybody a favor. All right. All right. Until next week, this is Justin Wise wrapping it up with you. In the meantime, have fun, stay safe, and we'll see you online. Bye-bye, everybody.
What's 1 trillion to the 10th power?
1 trillion raised to the 10th power is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,